Save me. church up in Vermilion, Ohio. They got in a little package called a handkerchief for heroes. And I want you to know that I'm praying for your safety. Now, we had a member of our church came back and had, how many got?
I've got a couple hundred.
All right. Got a couple hundred of them. He's going to lay them outside. If you want to take one, see a little handkerchief and say, I'll make that one of my prayer things. Okay? That'd be a blessing
if you do that, see. Because I believe prayer really works. I really believe it works. Really believe it does. Let's stand together and sing 489. The men will wait on you for an offering on the last night. 489. We're standing, we're singing. Always forget this, but if you're visiting with us and would like for me to come and eat with you, if you'll fill out a visitor's card, I'll know how to get there. No, we would be glad if you'd fill out a visitor's card and leave it. We might send you a little note and everything, tell you how glad we were that you were here. I always forget that. I'm glad, Mac's one of my favorite. Where is Mac? Where is Mac, Mom? Huh? Mac, you get out of that bathroom, get in here, I'm fixing to preach. I'm real tickled. Mac brought Mom with him this morning. You remember Mac getting baptized? And Mom comes to Sunday school. Everything was here this morning. Isn't that good? I love it. Let's pray now, and Charlie's going to lead us.
just laid the past few songs I've sung, the Lord just laid some old hymnals on my heart. And pray for me.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved, glory unsaved, my sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Saved, glory I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The angels rejoicing because it is done. A child of the Father, joint heir with the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved, glory I'm saved, my sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Saved, glory I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The Father, he spake, and his will it was done. Great price for my pardon, his own precious Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved, glory I'm saved, my sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Saved, I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father, all hail to the Son, all hail to the Spirit, the great three in one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved, glory I'm saved, my sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Saved, I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one.
The last few weeks, we've been taking some familiar pieces of Scripture and looking more closely at it. You all have to tell me this stuff. Come on, Melinda. I'm sorry. No? I asked. They said, Billy Ray's going to sing. I said, that's great.
Need everybody to pray for me. Right. I've been down with my back the last couple of days, so if I fall, I know the good Lord's going to pick me up. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and sin, touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met the blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Ain't nobody else, are you? I've been talking to you about familiar verses of Scripture that you read. Most people just read the Bible and it don't really say much to them. They read the Great Commission, but they don't think it applies to them. So they never witness for the Lord. They just think, oh, I know that's in the Bible, but it's not talking to me. It's kind of like the old farmer went to church, and every time the preacher would throw out a good bale of hay, he'd catch it on his pitchfork, and he'd say, that's not for me, that's for that fellow behind me. And he'd just keep on throwing it back. A lot of church members do that. When they hear the Bible, they say, oh, that's not for me, that's for this fellow back here, or the fellow that's not here. You say, Jesse, if they'd have been here, you'd have got them. Oh, they're here, and I'm fixing to get them. See, they're here. Me and you show up every week. We're the one reason we show up every week. We need it worse than them others. See, so we show up every week. Got to have it. Today I want to preach to you for a few minutes from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John. I preach to you on the Great Commission and how that Jesus' name was used as God's saving name. See, you need to carry that name. No other name under heaven given among men whereby you can be saved, save the name of Jesus. That's in the commission. You just need to take the name out there. It doesn't depend on you as to whether people get saved or not. It depends on Jesus and what they do with Jesus and whether they get saved or not. Then last week we talked to you about Nicodemus and getting born again. Now today, I probably won't get through this, but it don't matter, I'll get through some of it, Lord willing. Let me see if I can get us up to the 16th chapter and won't get back on them scriptures, all right? Jesus fixing to go be crucified. And he says to his disciples, in the 14th chapter, you remember that. He says to his disciples, I've got to go away, I'll be going away. And they said, Lord, where are you going? We don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Just believe in God, believe in me, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so he tried to comfort them. They were thinking, if you leave us, Lord, how can we live this life? See, every time they got in trouble, when they were out on the boat, you remember that? We all remember that story. When they were out on the boat, they got in trouble. Jesus stepped up and said, I'll take care of it. You all just settle down. I'll take care of it. When somebody died, like Lazarus, Mary and Martha would say, Lord, we need you. If you'd have been here,
He said, don't worry about it. Just show me where you laid him. I'll take care of it. Old blind man sat by the road and said, Lord, I need my sight. He said, okay, I'll take care of that. Your faith made you whole. He opened the blinded eye. See, the disciples had seen him. For instance, they were out having a church service, had 5,000 men there besides the women and kids. Didn't have no Burger King, no McDonald's, nothing around there. The disciples said, hey, everybody's hungry. It's dinner time. You preached over everything. Preached over. What are we going to do about feeding these people? Jesus said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. So he took care of it. See, Jesus always took care of them. He said, now I'm going away. And they said, if you go, Lord, what are we going to do? Now he said, when I go away, there's two or three things I want you to remember. And this is important to the sermon. Whether I get to it or not, it's important to the sermon. Here's what's important. Now Jesus said, you must always abide in me if you want to be a success in a Christian life. You must. I am the vine, you are the branches, you must abide in me. And so down through that 15th chapter and so forth, he talked about that. You've got to stay close by me. Now, I say that because if you don't stay with Jesus, he's the only one who really knows how to do this stuff. He knows how to help you sing a song the way it ought to be sung. He knows how to preach a sermon the way it ought to be preached. He knows how to pray a prayer the way it ought to be prayed. You've got to have him with you to help you know what to do about this Christian life. You got to have him there. Now he said, you got to abide in me. Now after that, he said something like this. Now the world's going to hate you like it's hated me. And I want you to know that you're going to need help facing the world that hates you. Now, there's people sitting here today said, if the Christian life were real easy, I'd try to live it. It ain't never going to be easy in this world. It ain't never. If you think it's going to be easy, you're mistaken. It ain't never going to be easy. Never. Because this world hates Jesus. And if you identify, if you abide in him, stay with him, it ain't never going to be easy. See, it's going to be rough. You say, how am I going to face all this trouble then? This is what Jesus is going to talk about in the 16th chapter. See, this is how you abide in me. This is how you face all this trouble. And this is how you give your witness. Now, it's very important that you listen to him because in the first verse of chapter 16, listen to what he said. These things have I spoken to you so that you'd not be offended. Offended, not a good translation, but anyway, I'll explain to you what it means. It means, I hope you will not stumble at the things that I have talked to you about. And I hope that you will be much aware of what is expected of you in the Christian life. Now, the word offended here means this. You set, I don't know if you ever did this. I can remember Dad setting some traps. You set a trap for a bird or a possum. I don't know if we ever set one for a possum. Don't set them for a possum, do we, John? Do we? Okay. All right. you set a trap. Now, this is what the word offended means. Now, you got to get it. You set a trap. And when they come in to get the meat or get the meal, get something they thought was good, when they come inside, the door falls behind them. You got them. That's what the word offended means. Now, here's what Jesus is saying. I told you these things so that you will not let the devil trap you. Don't let him trap you. You know, when you wake up, and I've had many people say this to me, I woke up this morning, I was really feeling bad. I wasn't feeling good at all. But I thought to myself, I'm going to go to church anyway. I don't care if I just have to sit there in pain. I'm going to go to church anyway. And when they come out the door, they said, you know what? I feel a lot better than I did when I got here. Do you know who was trying to trick you? Huh? Sit down here. You ain't able to make it. Sit down here. Be quiet. You don't need to hear that preacher today. No way. Now listen to Jesus. I'm talking to you about not getting caught in a trap of the devil, because he will trap you. So Jesus said, I told you these things so you will not get ensnared like a little bird that thinks it's getting a meal, but it's getting caught by the devil. See? Now, I know the devil makes you think, oh, this is wonderful. You've got to go this direction. See, there's people playing golf up here today that ought to be sitting in, maybe not church here, but they ought to be sitting in church somewhere right now. They ought to be sitting in church. Now, they think it's all right. Oh, you say, Jesus, ain't nothing wrong with playing golf. You're exactly right. There ain't nothing wrong with playing golf, except when I'm preaching. See, now what Jesus said is, you got to watch all the time because there are snares laying everywhere. And he said, I've talked to you about this stuff so that you will not be offended. The word offended means don't get caught in one of them snares. So you got the picture now of what he's going to talk about, and he's going to tell you, you need, even if I don't get to it, here's what the sermon's all about. He's going to tell you, you need the Holy Spirit guiding you from the time your eyes fly open till the time they get together and watching over you even while you sleep. You need the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that. You said, yes, I'm smart enough. I'm amazed that people go, old woman to Indiana come up to me and say, Brother Jess, if you preach more on heaven, we'd have better meetings. I said, could I ask you a couple questions? She said, yeah. I said, the Lord called you to preach? Well, no. Second question, has the Lord called you to instruct preachers? Well, no. Well, until he calls you to instruct me, then don't be trying to instruct me about how to preach. It's amazing how sometimes we think we know better than God. God don't really understand the situation. Yes, he does. And he has supplied the Holy Spirit to help you know what to do when trouble comes. Now, That's basically what my sermon's all about, but I want to talk to you a little bit about it, all right? I'll stretch it out here a little, earn my pay. I got a raise, you know. Now, here's what Jesus says. You got to learn to love me more than you do your family. I say, God, I don't know. More than I do my kids, my mom, dad. You say, what are you talking about, Lord? He's saying this. And I hear some people say that. Well, I would have been church last week, but my cousin come in from Kalamazoo, and he come in this right on Sunday, and I just thought, I better stay home with him. You know what you ought to say to him? Now, we're going to church, and if you want to go with us, we'll be glad to have you go with us. If you don't want to go with us, we'll be back as soon as Jesse gets finished preaching. Oh, you say, I couldn't do that. I know you couldn't do that. That's why you're a flop as a Christian. See, there's times you've got to make a choice. See, Jesus said you've got to learn, if you're going to make it in this Christian life, you've got to learn to love me more than you do anything else in the world. Now, you cannot learn to do that without the help of the Holy Spirit of God. To your wife and kids, and nobody else going to help you do that. That is a big task, to learn to love him more than you do anybody or anything else in this world. Jesus said you've got to have that. If you're going to live the Christian life, get anything out of it that's worthwhile, you've got to learn to love me. That's why I see some of y'all come to church, and I know you come because you love Jesus. And he sure does like that. He likes when you do something because you love him. He likes that. He says that's the way the Christian life is supposed to work. See, now, he wants you to love him. He wants you to overcome the world. He wants you to be a real successful witness to Him, and He wants your life to shine out. You said, Jesse, how am I going to do all that? All right, now, He says in verse 7, I believe it is. Let me get down there. If I don't, I won't get to it. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient. Does your translation say expedient? All right, now, the word expedient means this. I have been called, and it's very necessary that this thing be done. This is the ideal in the word expedient. I have been called, and it's very necessary for you to have certain equipment. And I am going to go and collect that equipment. Now get this picture that Jesus is talking to His disciples. I'm going to go, and I'm going to collect the equipment that you need to live the Christian life. Here's what He said I'm going to do. I'm going to go to a cross. And I'm going to stretch my arms out. And I'm going to be crucified for you. Because you need your sins forgiven. And I'm going to take them away. See, now nobody else can do that for you. When He uses the word expedient, it's expedient for you that I go away. Now, in that going away, He means I must go to Calvary and get forgiveness for the sins of the world. I've got to go there. Shed my blood. Secondly, then I'm going to leave that cross and they're going to lay me in a grave. And I'm going to go inside that grave. And I'm going to be there for 3 days, nights. And then I'm going to resurrect. And I'm going to fix it so that when you leave this world, you can have access to a new body. Through a resurrection that's going to take place. Do you believe all these graves in this world and country is going to bust open one of these days and they're going to come out there? Oh, you say, Judge, that can't happen. It'll happen, honey, just as sure as I'm standing here. They're going to bust open. And Jesus got it when He went in the grave. He said, I went and conquered the grave for you. You don't have to worry about it. I went and conquered the sins for you. You don't have to worry about them. I took them away. It's expedient for you that I go away. And that's what He's talking about. Now, third thing, it's expedient for you that I go away and go where, Lord? That I go to heaven. Now, when I go to heaven, then God the Father will send the Holy Spirit. But if I don't go and report in, He will not send the Holy Spirit. But if I go and report in, now listen to what He says. And while I'm gone there, I will prepare you a dwelling place in my Father's house. He's working on it. Now, He made this old world we're living in 7 days. And He's been working 2,000 years on a place for me and you to come and live. You're talking about a wonderful place. I'll tell you, it'd be worth going to heaven just get to see it. It's going to be something. He said, I'm going, it's expedient for you. It's very necessary. I'm going to go. I'm going to purchase all the sins and have that. I'm going to purchase you a new body. You have that. I'm going to purchase you transportation into heaven. I'm going to seal up hell against all my kids. And they don't have to worry about going to hell. Isn't that wonderful? Make a Baptist shout almost. It is wonderful. Jesus said it's very unnecessary, very expedient for you that I go away. Now, verse 7, if I go not away, the comforter. See the word comforter? All right, now you've got to look at it because inside of words that were written in Jesus' day was two or three meanings. And you could take one word and it would fit exactly what He wanted. Now, here's what Jesus meant when He used the word comforter here. Number one, He meant an advocate. An advocate has to do with a lawyer. The lawyer goes into court and takes your case and pleads your case. Now, Jesus said, when it comes to getting into the Holy of Holies, I'm going to send you an advocate. Now, he will be your lawyer here. And then over there in John, in the first epistle of John, he said Jesus himself would be an advocate over there. Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's the attorney. The Holy Spirit, and Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter about 7, I believe it is, Paul said, now there's going to come times when you don't know how to pray. You ever been that way? Yeah. When you don't know how to pray, and you just get down to pray, and you say, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Now, Paul said the Holy Spirit takes that prayer, even though you didn't know what to say, he takes it and molds it into a prayer that's fitting for to be presented to God. And he takes it to Jesus, who is the advocate there on the right hand of the Father. And he says, here's Jesse's prayer. He really didn't know how to pray it, but I'm his attorney. And I come to plead his cause. And Jesus said, all right, I'll go in and see the Father. He can get in any time. See, me and you might not break through it, but our Savior, our elder brother, he can get in any time. Anytime he wants to go. Day or night, 24 hours a day, get in any time. The Holy Spirit says, Jesse needs some help. And he says, what does he need? Well, here's what he needs. He says, all right, I'll petition the Father. Now listen to Jesus. If you ask anything in my... See, anytime you present a check up there and it's got his signature on it, they'll cash it. Anytime. They won't even look around to see if he's got the stuff there that need covering. So Jesus said, I will. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will be your advocate down here. He will be your attorney down here. Secondly, not only that, but he will be a paraclete. He will always be standing by your side to help you. Now, the paraclete, when he says a paraclete, he means this. He will be your helper. You ever get burdened down? Burdened down? See, when I was driving to Kentucky, I'll get over this sometime, but until I do, I have to throw some of this stuff on y'all. When I was driving to Kentucky, all the kids and everybody else was standing outside the hospital, and friends, they were the biggest crowd standing outside the hospital. And they kept calling Bernie while we was driving. Where are y'all now? Where are y'all now? Well, when I got out, old Murphy, y'all know Murphy, come over and put his arms around me. And he said, Jesse, David, go. He was gone when I left home, except I didn't know it, and they wouldn't tell me. Now, here was all this big crowd of people, and they all crowded around me, and we went in the hospital. Helping me. Now, I want you to get this picture. And I prayed something like this, Lord, you help. And you could feel an infusion of power coming. Have you ever been in a place where you thought, if the Lord don't help me, I don't know what I'm going to do? See, sometimes when I look at sinners, lost people, I don't know how they face some things without the Lord there to help them. See? Now, the word paraclete means that the Holy Spirit will be right there. And when your burden gets so heavy that you don't know what you're going to do, he just scooted right down under it like this. He just scooted right down. He said, come on, Bill, we can do it. We can do it. I said, I don't know, Lord. DJ, come on, we can do it. We can do it. Come on, Bill. Come on. See, he will be. Jesus said, I'm going to send you somebody that when you have a load that you can't bear, he gets, and he used the word comforter. It has any idea of paraclete. I'm going to send you somebody that will help you lift the load. Because when this world hates you, see, in these verses, these first few verses here, he said they'll cast you out of the synagogues. They'll even kill you and think they're doing a good thing for God. They'll do everything. They won't let you go to church. They won't let you practice your religion. Your family will turn against you. Everything. He said, when everything turns against you, the Holy Spirit will be there and saying, I'm on your team. Don't worry. We can make it. See, and Jesus said, you're going to need that. I'm going to send you a comforter. The Holy Spirit's called a comforter. And the word comforter has in it three or four different meanings. An advocate, a paraclete, and a helper. And he'll help you to love Jesus the way you ought to. He can make Jesus so real to you. He can do it. See, I may try to picture it and can't do it. Now, let me mention three things. We've got to go. Sometimes I need somebody else preaching and let me sit and enjoy it. I enjoy it so much, sometimes I forget I'm preaching. And I think, I'm just enjoying it. You say, yes, all I care you preach. I don't care. I'm having the best time of my life. Amen. I'm having the best time of my life. You say, I don't enjoy it much. Too bad. Too bad. You could if you would. If you wasn't so hard-hearted and stiff-necked and so forth. See, if you'd open up, he'd bless you and help you through. Now, he said, the reason he sent the Holy Spirit was to help Christians. That's his primary reason. Now, he says, as a result of helping Christians, three things will happen. You can look in the verses there. Three things are going to happen. Number one, he will convict the world of sin. Now, not sins. And here's an amazing thing I found out that I didn't realize. Now, listen to what he says. The Holy Spirit, by coming, working through you, helping you witness, helping you love me, helping you be the kind of Christian you ought to be, he's helping you do that. Now, as a result of him doing that, he will convict the world of sin. Now, he uses Jesus to convict the world of its sin. He does not come and condemn. That's why Jesus said to you and me, you cannot condemn people. See, I can remember preachers, especially when I was growing up, I'd be with them revival, we'd go make a visit on somebody who was not a Christian, go in, they'd have shorts on and half of something up, stop, and the preacher would start on, oh, you know, you need a dress right, and so forth, so forth. They'd see me get out and get away, and I'd say, listen, preacher, they need to be saved first, and then Jesus can teach them how to dress right. See, now, me and you are not here to condemn the world. That's not what our purpose is. The Holy Spirit didn't come to condemn the world. The Bible says the world will become convicted of its sin by watching what Jesus did for us on the cross. See, it will become convicted. Now, let me give you a picture of what he's talking about. Here's what he's saying. Here's Jesus kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here he is. Father, if it can be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. Now he stays there and prays till his sweat becomes great drops of blood. A few minutes he gets up and he says to his disciples, well, let us go now. And the soldiers have got him. They take him to Pilate's hall. They put a crown of thorns down on his head. They took a cat of nine tails and they beat him probably 39 lashes, save one. And he's standing here in Pilate's hall. And Pilate says, speak up, man. Don't you know I could let you go and let you live? Now speak up. And he says, sir, you could do nothing except God let you do what he does. Why are you here? He's a little old boy down Bell County, Kentucky. His name's Jesse Buell. That's why I'm here. Ain't you ever done nothing wrong? Nobody can accuse me. But Jesse's full of wrong. And somebody's got to help him. And he called your name too. He could have called your name too. And said, that's why I'm here. So they lead him out of there. And he carries that old cross up the hill. And he falls down sometimes. Falls down. And you could walk up beside him and say, "What are you doing all this for?" And he says, "It's an old boy coming down the pike by the name of Brian. He sure does need salvation. And I'm going to get it right up here on top of the hill." And so he goes up there and he lays down, puts his hands out on that cross. And you can hear the thug almost. And then they raise him up on the cross. And when they drop it in the hole, you can almost hear this flesh and things tearing when they drop it in the hole, because it had to be a thug. You say, "Why are you doing this?" Because there is a lost world needing forgiveness of their sin. And I must shed my blood, or their sin can never be forgiven. Now listen to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will take that right there, what I told you. He will take that and convict the world that they're all sinners. Oh, you say, "Jesse, surely not." Listen to this. On the day of Pentecost, y'all remember the day of Pentecost? All of them up in the upper room, they're all up there praying. Now here come all these people around, and they said to these people, "What are y'all doing?" Because they all got up and were shouting going on, you know. You could tell they wasn't Baptist, but I mean, they were shouting going on, talking in different languages, all that kind of stuff, see. And people run up and said, "What are y'all doing? Are y'all drunk? Is that one of y'all drunk?" Now listen to Peter. Peter stood up and he said, "Sirs, we're not drunk as you suppose. This is the fulfillment of the prophet Joel. You crucified the Son of God, and now the Holy Spirit's come to witness to him that he has been received into heaven." And that's what we're doing. And he just, all he did was preach about what Jesus done. Now listen to what happened. The Bible says, and they were pricked in their heart when they heard that. Pricked in their heart. Listen to them. "Sirs, what must we do?" And Peter said, "You must repent." That means turn away from your sin and turn to this man Jesus for forgiveness of your sin. You must repent. Turn and do that now. And the Bible says 3,000 of them give their hearts to the Lord right there. That's what conviction is. You say, "Jesse, old Peter got them, didn't he?" No, Peter didn't get them. The Holy Spirit got them. He used the words of Peter and got them. Now listen to Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit to help you when you give your witness, because He and He alone is the only one who can convict people of their sin. See, men, you don't know the depth of their sin. Holy Spirit knows their sin. He can convict them. See? You say, "Jesse, what is convict?" Well, you know what we call them, a convict. Convict means a fella standing behind bars, and every time he looks out the bars, he is convicted as to why he's in there. This is why I'm here. Conviction means you are shown that you are a sinner and need forgiveness for your sin. That is shown to you, and then you are convinced, "I need to do something about it." Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict you, and He'll convict you not only of sin, He'll convict you of righteousness. Now, Christian, I should have preached a whole sermon on this right here, but you get this if you don't get any of the rest of it. Now, He uses Jesus to show how much people need their sin forgiven on the cross. Now, listen to the second thing. He will convict the world of righteousness. Stand up here with me just a minute. This right here proves that Jesus works.
Amen.
Thank you. This proves that Jesus can make you righteous. This proves. We got them sitting here. They proof. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit's come, He will take Christians and prove to the world that people can be right with God. See, you're supposed to be living proof. I am forgiven. I'm right with God. And the Holy Spirit will take your life and convince the people around you. You can be right with God if you want to be, because God has made me right. Now, it don't mean you're clean as a hound's tooth and sinless, but it means that you're able to stand before God and be welcomed into heaven when this life's over. See? Because Jesus took care of your sins on the cross. That made you right. And the Holy Spirit takes you, if you'll let Him guide you, He'll take you and make the world realize you can be right if you want to. Now, the last thing, and I ain't got time to preach it. He'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, judgment. Now, I don't know where you'll get this or not, but this is what he means. Here's what he means. If you don't think that God will judge the world for their sin, you look at Calvary. Now, when God takes the most precious thing He's got and lets you and me crucify Him, you may know that sin is a very serious thing with God. Now, here's what He proved when Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose again. Here's what He proved. The devil is going down. He's whipped. Listen to Jesus hanging on the cross. And here's some of the words He said that I just love. He said this: "It is finished!" I've done it, it's finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. This shows what the world and the devil thought about God and Jesus. They would crucify Him, and God run over top of them and went through the grave and everything else and said, "I'll take every power you got access to, death, hell, and the grave, I'll take it all away, and it won't frighten my kids no more." Amen. You say, "Brother Jesse, I don't know what they're going to do with the devil." God's going to burn him in a Tartarus hell forever and forever and forever. And He did not intend for you to go there. But if you insist on identifying with Him and will not accept that death, burial, and resurrection of His precious Son for the salvation of your soul, if you do not accept that, then you'll be condemned with Him. The Holy Spirit is convincing that there is a judgment coming. Amen. It's a coming. And the only refuge you got is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is convincing people by the death of Jesus on the cross and by the lives of Christians that's around them that there's a judgment coming and God's going to make things right. He's going to straighten it out. If you identify with the devil, then He's already showed you, "I've defeated the devil." You're going to be completely defeated if you identify with the devil. Well, I read a story. I don't know when I read the story, but missionary was on the mission field and he was showing some pictures, you know, trying to make it plain where about how people could be saved and how they needed to be saved. And so he was showing some of the life of Jesus and so forth, trying to explain to them that this is God's Son who come down to die for us and so forth. Now, he got to the crucifixion and had a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. And the old chief of the tribe was sitting there watching that. And he couldn't contain himself any longer, the missionary said. And he jumped up and he said, "Take him down! Take him down! Take him down! Take him down! Take him down!" He said, "I should have been the one who was up there. Take him down. Take him down." Now, whether you know it or not, you are the one who should have been crucified. You are the one who deserves to be lost and go to hell. But Jesus so loved us that He came and fixed it. So, and the Holy Spirit's here to witness to that fact that He died for us, was buried, rose again, and we have that witness in our hearts. Let us bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. One day, Lord, we get to come be where you are. We can thank you forever, forever, forever. What a joy it is to know that the God of all creation has come to live in our hearts and to welcome us into His family. If there be one among us here today who's never trusted in the precious Son, Jesus, who died for the sins of the world, I pray they may come and trust Him today. If there's Christians here, Lord, who's not committed in the way that the Holy Spirit's leading them, I pray they will come and make that commitment today. And we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 134, we're going to stand and sing. If you need to come making a commitment to the Lord, you come while we stand and sing this. I hear the Savior say, thy strength and need is child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all. Jesus paid it all. Oh, to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white. We're singing the second one if you need to come. Now, indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leopard spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. Sin had left a crimson stain. He was. We're going to sing one more stanza. If you need to come, you come. Now, good have I, whereby thy grace to cleave. Wash my garments white in the blood. You need to come. We're waiting. Jesus. Oh, my own sin. He washed it. Anybody have a word before we go?